Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're going to share with you guys something that we did in VBS in Newark. It was a song that we learned in Kentucky when we met up with the Westgrove team, and we're going to share that with you. But our first step is, in VBS, we don't sit down when we worship. So that means everyone, if you can stand up, that would be greatly appreciated. So the first thing that we're going to do, it's a process, so we're going to stick our thumbs out. So everything that I do, you guys do. Let's get energized. So when I say when I say thumbs out, you guys say thumbs out.
Thumbs up.
All right, so ready? And then we're going to go, making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart to the King of Kings. And we're going to scream it loud as we can.
So,
jumping. Jumping's good. Jumping's great, actually. So, you guys ready? Thumbs out.
Thumbs out.
Making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart to the King of Kings. All right. So then there's a few other processes. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but the kids were more energized. So we need to be more energized than them, all right? So, ready? Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Knees in.
Knees in.
Making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart to the King of Kings. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Knees in.
Knees in.
Bottoms out.
Bottoms up.
Making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart to the King of Kings. Woo! So, this is our last round, and on our last round, we go as loud as we can, as energized as we can. So, ready?
Woo!
like Rob, but thumbs out. Knees bent.
Bottoms out.
Tongue out. Spin around. Ready? Making melodies in my heart. Making melodies in my heart, making melodies in my heart to the King of Kings!
We're just going to go through a quick chronological slideshow of our trip, so you guys have some backstory for the stories that the students are going to share. All of these pictures are from our two-day drive out. We stopped halfway at Camp Indy, which is a Horizon Fellowship. This is the entryway of the church. The first thing you'll notice is they're right under one of the airplane routes. So every 30 seconds or so, you have a deafening silence of an airplane. But this is the view into the fellowship hall from the front doors. You look to the right, you have the doors to the sanctuary here. And just a beautiful sanctuary here that a team from Arizona redid earlier this year in a view from the pulpit. This was where a lot of the VBS was staged. As you can see, it was a very exhausting trip out there. After the first Sunday, these are pictures of a fish fry that they did right in the middle of the projects there in Newark, just two blocks away. We walked down there, made some fish sandwiches, gave a gospel message, and some people came forward to be saved. That gentleman there with the orange bill on his hat is Rajan from the video, from those of you who might remember that from in services before we went. Here are some photos from every morning we would do daily devotions before we went into our cleaning tasks and different things. And our days were really divided up into two parts. The first part of the day was before VBS. And you're seeing some pictures of some of the variety of projects that we were able to tackle while we were there. But here you just see us playing some board games because there were always kids on the property. Being right there in the neighborhood, especially being during summertime, there were always kids around to love. This is the beginning of VBS. This was the first VBS that this church had ever put on. And it was in talking to a lot of the leaders, there was only one leader that had ever been part of a VBS before. A lot of times, everything they were learning was what they were being told. So it was an amazing opportunity to come alongside them and help with that. One of the major responsibilities that we had for VBS was instead of just like a normal snack time, like we would do here in our VBS, we wanted to provide them a full meal because a lot of these kids don't get three meals a day, much less something cooked and nice and warm and hot like that. So we provided meals every day before VBS, fed just about the 80 kids that attended. Many of the decorations were done by an Arizona team from Calvary Chapel Surprise Arizona. And we came alongside and helped them do that. You see some of the games going on here. And so as this plays through some more of the VBS footage, as I said, our days were sort of split up into two parts. And the morning part of the day, we would be doing work around the facilities. There were some painting projects. There was a large basement organization project, cleaning. As I said, the renovations that were recently done to this church, a lot of stuff still left out of place and didn't allow them to function as smoothly as they could if some of these things were handled. And they have so much ministry just outside their doors at all times that a lot of times they don't have these opportunities to do things around the church. That we're blessed to do, even if it's just as simple as weekly cleaning, when there's always people and kids and families outside to be ministering to. They have a huge heart for the community, so they'd much rather be out there witnessing and ministering to them in a number of ways that they do. We see some VBS craft pictures here. Lots of wonderful kids, and the great thing about this is where normally a VBS that we would experience here, it's a lot of our own churched kids and their friends that they would bring. The majority of these kids were unchurched and were coming because there was just a great amount of commotion and again, a free meal. And we were able to teach them that Jesus sees them, he knows them, and he saved them. So it was a absolutely wonderful 5 days of VBS. We're gonna come up here to that's another shot of our morning devotions that we would do, a little midweek laundry break. We were there for about 10 days. Here you see the song, which you're now much more familiar with than you were when we started. And this was interesting. We got to do worship before VBS. The meal block that they had planned in the schedule was a little longer than they anticipated, so they gave us the last 15 or 30 minutes of that, and Valerie and Joey and Tia and a bunch of the other people that are familiar with the VBS songs came alongside that and really blessed the kids with that. Here you can see we redid one of their fences outside. This was a project that we did later in the week, and those youth there are interdispersed between the Calvary Chapel Wichita folks and the Surprise Arizona teams. Here's a before and after shot of the basement. You couldn't even walk in there, and that actually goes all the way around. It's a giant L. This is some artwork that Nick Roberts did. They expanded one of the rooms, so the wall to the left of that pillar there wasn't there, and then the renovations were done, and the previous mural was left incomplete. So he came in and he sketched that out. Now, these next batch of photos is the community outreach that ended the week of VBS. It was sort of like a mini Light the Night, if you're familiar with that outreach that we do. But it was the last day of VBS, and we got an inflatable. We got some carnival games. There was a cotton candy machine, popcorn. We grilled hot dogs and hamburgers, provide drinks. There was a number of water games. And it was really great to not only see the kids out and having a good time, but there was music blasting. This is right on the corner of a busy street, and we can't tell you how many people would just come in. They would see the food, hear the music, lizards and all. We brought in all types, and you can see that's just a little bit of one of the streets going down, and that picture was so metaphoric of just how we were pouring into these kids Jesus, and they were going out just as a light into their community. And you could see that in just their bright yellow shirts. Again, so many coming from unchurched homes, just coming for a hot meal, for someone to be friends, for someone to love on them. That gentleman there is Pastor Ray pastor of the Rock Christian Fellowship. Never too busy to take a little time to look pretty. The team from Calvary Chapel Surprise also did the Lighthouse Everything skit. We've got some pictures coming up here. And that was the skit that our youth did actually during our Light the Night ministry. These are pictures of it here. And this is a wonderful picture coming up. I mean, literally the garbage in the background. Because that skit spoke to those people. We were talking about issues that were real to them. And again, a young man by the name of Matthew presented the gospel and people came to be saved. And that was a great way to sort of end the week. So we took some time off. Some of the ladies went to Jersey Shore and we took our newfound model, Nick, to New York City for a good photo shoot. Again, just want to put some pictures in your mind of where we were. This is Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, Joe Foch there on the left. And again, a sleepy ride home, myself included. But it really did begin and end with the cross. And so we just wanted to give you a little backstory as I invite the students up here.
Well, hello there. Hi. For me, this trip was more focused on transforming my heart. I felt that way, just the Lord using that trip to soften my heart. Because walking in, I looked at it, and it was different than Kentucky. It was different than anything we ever done. And I walked in, and my heart was hardened, and I just couldn't feel the Lord's presence. So that was rough. For the first couple days, I was fleshing it pretty hard, but trying to still love the Lord and do ministry. And I was sitting in a debrief after VBS one night or something like that, and I was just thinking to myself, Lord, like, why am I here? Why did you call me here? Because it's obviously not your will, because I couldn't feel him. My heart was hardened. And I was sitting in the sanctuary. I was sitting on the stairs, and Rob and Tia came in and prayed with me. And that's when everything changed for me. The Lord softened my heart. He spoke things to my heart that were just personally for me. And after that, it just changed. The whole trip just changed. I was like, Lord, like, I see why you brought me here. You brought me here to love your people, but even more, love the kids in the VBS, which was more important than anything going on that I could have even imagined. So we were doing VBS, and we were doing crafts, and in one of those pictures up there, I was sitting with this little kid in the yellow shirt, and his name is Saddam, and he was the cutest little kid. He loved people so much. He was so nice to people, and knowing a little bit of his backstory, his home life was terrible. I don't even know if he got to eat full meals on a regular basis. He had a rough life, harder than I've ever had. And as I was sitting there and loving on him, he asked me, he's like, do you want to be my friend? Like, hey, Joey, like, I want you to be my friend. I was like, yeah, like, of course I want to be your friend. And after that, for like the next 4 days, he just stuck by my side like a leech. And then I realized, I was like, Lord, this is why you called me here, for this one kid. To minister your love to the children that have probably never been shown it before. So that was my experience.
Yeah, this mission trip has been different than the other ones that we've been on. And with that being said, we've done like ministry like in Kentucky. And for that, for a lot of us who have been on Kentucky, it was a very big moment of, oh, wow. Look at what God is doing. I want to be a part of that. I want to walk with the Lord. I want to be a part of His love and His mission. And that was kind of what happened just with this year's internship and with the last couple Kentuckys. But this mission trip, it was just growing us all. We all kind of had that basis of faith and the basis of, okay, I know how God works a little bit, but how do I really, really dig in? How do I really, really get deep? And so this mission trip, it was just so dynamic. In Kentucky, it was very, you know, there's the girls, and we want to just love on them just go full throttle. This was very, very different. It was so many different ministries. It was learning how to do ministry with a youth group we didn't expect to be there, that was a lot younger. It was ministry on how to do ministry with each other, with one another, ministry to be underneath new leaders that we've never met before. We don't really know how they work, really, but just learning how to work underneath them, learning how to missionary to kids that we just don't know their life, and just they're in a place where we can't relate to at all, or not many of us, and in a place where just so much poverty and violence happens. It was just a very, very big growing experience for all of us. And what was really, really cool, it was just, you could see how God built on top of all the bases that were already planted earlier in the year and earlier in our hearts. So that was really cool.
This trip has been a blessing, to say the least. Last night I was working and my friend came up to me and was talking to me about the trip, how like I went to New Jersey and it was a mission trip and I was helping children. I told him it was a 21-hour drive to get up there and then to get back down here. He asked if it was worth it, and without even thinking, I just said yes, absolutely. I worked in the kitchen for most of VBS and preparing large amounts of food for 60, 80 hungry kids, and then cleaning up. It was tasking. Every night I went to bed exhausted, but I woke up happy, knowing I could help these kids and bless them and give them a hot meal when they probably don't get one any other day of the week. Helping kids who might not have a family or even a home was just, it was amazing to do that. An example was at the end of EBS, I was face painting at the outreach, and a lot of the kids would get "I love mommy" on their arms, and it was adorable. It was a little tattoo to show their appreciation for their mothers. But then they would show their mothers, and the moms would just, they wouldn't even care. They would think it was just lowly, like dirt on the ground. I get to serve these kids who have moms who don't care, and it just put the entire week into perspective for me. I get to show them the Lord's love and make sure they know that even if their earthly parents don't love them, their Heavenly Father does.
So I got a lot out of this trip, and there are just so many things that blessed me, and God was really there. But one of the things I took away that, like, I don't think I could ever forget was one of our first nights there, we were going to the Fish Fry Outreach. I think you guys, like, saw it on some of the pictures. And we were walking to the park that we were going to do the fish fry at. And we were walking, and then there was, like, people on the sides, like, that you could, like, see their gangbangers. Like, you could see, like, I mean, we were in inner city, so I was like, oh, my gosh, like, don't make eye contact. Just keep walking. And so I was just walking, and, like, it was our whole team. And then Pastor Ray was in the back of all of us, so I was just like, let's get to the park. Just get to the park. And then Pastor Ray walks by, and he was like, hey, guys. And they're like, hey, Pastor Ray, like, how you doing? He walks up, he hugs all of them, and I was like, I'm a terrible person. Like, it was just so sweet. Like, they just, like, you could tell, like, they knew him, and he knew them, or, like, they just, like, know each other. And then, like, we kept walking, and people were, like, opening up their windows and, like, high stories or whatever, and be like, hey, Pastor Ray, you're, like, rolling deep today. And he's like, yeah, I got a couple of people come down to the fish fry. They'll be like, we'll be down soon, or, like, we'll bring the kids or whatever. And so, like, it was just a blessing to me just to sit and watch him and his ministry. Like, the love that he has for his community is, like, crazy. Like, it's only a love that God can put in your heart, and it just blessed me just watching it. Like, I just, from a distance, seeing the love God has put in his heart for his whole community, and just the love that they see in him, because they're demonstrating it by just saying hi, like, we know you, like, you know us, you know, we'll be down to the fish fry or whatever. It was a really big blessing to me.
So for me, my experience in Newark was crazy. You know, I didn't expect myself to be in Newark. You know, I thought I'd be in Wichita all my life. But going there, I had one thing that the Lord was pushing onto my heart, and that was, you know, how much do you trust in me, was what he was pushing on my heart. going into Newark, I'm sure all of us were just super uncomfortable being there. You know, all of us were being stretched in multiple places by the Lord. And for me, just that one thing, you know, it's like, how much trust do you have in me? You know, with all this stuff that I'm putting you through, you know, going through ministry with kids who, you know, for me, myself, I'm not comfortable with either, you know. Like, kids, like, I love them and all, but, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to them. And so just having trust in him was really, you know, a stretching point for me. And it came to a point where God used these two guys, you know. They're whacked out on drugs. These guys were just walking down the street one day in the middle of VBS. They were actually on their way to kill someone. They're actually they took Xanax before, and they were on their way to kill someone, and you know, they just happened to stumble upon, you know, the Rock Christian Fellowship. And just seeing them, you know, it just made me think to my past, you know, like, you know, I just broke down. I just wanted the best for them. And I knew what's going to happen if, you know, the cops came or like just anything, you know, if they were to have gone and killed the man or whatever. And that was the point for me. You know, the Lord was pushing on my heart, you know, you need to pray about this now. You know, you need to pray for them. You need to pray for yourself to have trust in them. So I prayed and just, you know, I finally see why we should trust in the Lord. You know, he does so much for us. And just that moment, it made me realize that, hey, we're all in his hands and we're all safe and we all have a specific plan. He has a specific plan for all of us. So we shouldn't be worrying and we should have trust in him. So that was my experience.
My experience was like when we were going down and knocking on doors in the neighborhood when we were doing the fish fry. It was just a good experience for me because, like, I got to know my friends that were there on the trip with me a little bit more. And when I was walking around knocking on doors, the people that are there aren't really, they look like bad guys, but they're really not. When they come around and hang out with you at the church, they are like, they're sweet and kind. And that's what I noticed. And when I was hanging out with the little kids, it just softened my heart even more because like I met this little kid, Brian, and every time he came to the church, he'd say, "Hey, Mickey, you want to go play basketball?" "Mickey, you want to play basketball?" I'd say, "Hey, sure, let's go find the basketball." Just softened my heart. That's what I learned.
This trip was a really huge blessing for me because I had never been on a missions trip before. But I was just amazed at some of the things that God did. I was put with the first through third grade class, which made me a little nervous because I love kids, but kind of like Johnny said, you don't know what to do. And I met this little girl the first day, and her name was Nevaeh. And she was super sweet. She was kind of closed off at first, but then she started to open up. And we were doing a craft, and it was the little masks where it looked like a whale. And she's like, "Can I color this part in?" And I was like, "Well, we're about to go outside, like, pretty much right now, so how about you just color that at home?" And she said, "I don't have markers at home." And it just totally hit me because she couldn't afford to buy something as simple as markers, something that, like, you know, all kids have. That's what makes you a kid, you color. And she didn't have that. So I let her color in that thing. And so then I had the opportunity, we made a grocery run, and I bought her some markers. So the last day of the outreach, I put it like in a bag, and I wrote a note, and I put Matthew 6:26 on it. It's basically God providing for you, so don't worry. And I realized that that's what was happening right now. God was providing for that little girl to have some markers. So I walked up because I saw she was leaving, and I gave them to her mom, and I was like, You know, she said she didn't have any markers at home, that you couldn't afford it, and God just really put this on my heart. So I wanted to give her some markers. And she thanked me, and she's like, that's so nice of you. And her face, Nevaeh's face, was glowing, and she was just smiling. And I don't even think she knew what was in it yet. And she was just so happy. And that just really blessed me.
So when we were over there, like over here, I've done two VBSs, but like I've never really liked kids, and like I've never really liked to play with them or anything because I find them annoying. So yeah, and so like I don't really associate myself with them. So then over there at VBS. I just like felt a calling to like do a lot of like fun activities because I saw most of the kids were they would be super energized, but like they wouldn't have anything to do or anything like to play. So like Rob, the first day Rob put me in the games area, and I was teamed with Cameron and David. They were from the team Arizona. And so like the first day we just like played games, and like it was super fun. And then, like, throughout the week, this girl was, like, having, like, a lot of fun. And she won two games, but then the last one was, like, an all or nothing. So either you win it or you lose it. And so the girl lost, and she, like, started crying, and I felt super bad. And so then the next day, like, I remembered her, and we played this one game where you tie a balloon to your leg and try to pop it from everybody else. And so they split the class in half. And I, like, decided to put a string on my own foot and, like, different colors, so it would be, like, both teams against me. And so it came down to, like, me, that little girl, and another guy from Arizona. And I was, like, trying really hard to pop the balloon from Arizona, so it would be just me and the little girl. But the little girl ended up popping my balloon. And, like, everybody, like, rushed in and, like, picked her up, like, in the movies, like, when the baseball game. They picked her up and, like, started chanting her name, and I was like, oh, dang. And, like, I don't know. I was, like, super blessed. And, like, yeah, that was my story, yeah.
This trip was really neat to go on. There are a lot of unexpected blessings. One of them is just the team I was with. These people really love Jesus. And it just pours forth from them. I think one of my favorite things that happened on this trip was getting to sit down with this little girl, Samantha. She was 7. And I was coloring some signs for the outreach that we were having after VBS, and she joined me. And she was telling me how much she loved God and how important it is to pray. And, you know, we're just talking a little bit, and the theme I walk away with this trip on is how important it is to love others and how important it is to invest in others and to give everything you have and then some until you're dry, because Jesus died for her, and Jesus died for Tia and Amanda and myself and all y'all. So every single person on this earth matters, and so that automatically makes them worth loving on and putting every ounce of energy you have towards them, because God loves them, so why shouldn't I?
So I have two stories. The first one's really short, but it's very indicative of what you found with this group. So as Rob kind of intimated, we had a lot of different ministries going on, and our team was split up in different groups, and some were in the basement, and some were outside working on the fence, and some were doing VBS, and some were in the kitchen. And there was one point in the morning I couldn't find anybody, and I was really frustrated. And I looked at Rob, and I go, Rob, where is everybody? And he goes, they're in the boys' room praying. But that was them. I mean, they knew they were out of their element. And there were so many times we caught them as a small group or reaching out to each other and just praying. It was just so awesome. I mean, their praying just really ministered, I think, to each and every one of us leaders, that they just took it on themselves to do that. The other moment, and I think everybody that's kind of sharing is suggesting that they know that God was there with them. They know that God was there stretching them. Seriously, anybody that has a driver's license on this team needs to go get back, because we're taller just from all the stretching that happened. Suffice it to say, from my history, I was with a certain person for about 12 years who, to sum it up, just wasn't a very nice person. And when I'm around people like that with that personality, I tend to twist off and kind of really introvert. And unbeknownst to me, I worked alongside somebody like that, not from our team, but I worked alongside somebody that, and God did not show me that until Friday afternoon when I could handle it. If he had showed me Monday, it would have been over and they would have been peeling Valerie out of the corner. But he showed me on Friday, and I could handle it on Friday because I knew that he cradled me in his hand all week long, just like he cradled each and every one of this group.
Everybody has such wonderful stories, and I do too. Just from my one day, I got to emerge from the kitchen and interact with the kids. I wanted to share something that I had the opportunity to listen to. And what it really stems from is that from the pictures, you can see that they live in poverty. And we really saw that the night of the fish fry. We went door to door knocking and inviting them down to come at least get a free meal and hopefully hear the gospel. But we would knock on these doors in the hallways. They smelled bad. And the homes were not nice, and the people who answered the doors were also frequently not nice, because they have no idea who's knocking on their door in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday. But later on in the week, it hit me that all of those people in those tiny apartments listened to airplanes flying over them every day, every 30 seconds, every minute, and they will probably never ride an airplane. They will only listen and endure the sound. But two of the leaders from The Rock shared some stories with me, because not only was this a poverty-stricken area, it was just a dark place to be. There was a lot of demonic activity and spiritual warfare. One example is a little girl named Tiana, who was in VBS. She one day was drawing pictures during just a Sunday Bible school, normal Sunday, and the teacher came up and she said, "What are you drawing?" And she was like, "Oh, these are the demons that live in my house." And the teacher, you know, she didn't put much into that, but she was like, "Oh, really? Tell me about it." And the little girl told her a little bit about the six different demons that lived in her house, and mentioned to her that, "Don't you have demons that live in your house too?" And the woman, Catherine, who was the teacher, just kind of brushed it off as like, that's real, kind of, but maybe this little girl is making it up. It was maybe 2 weeks after that, that a woman walked into their church who had been attending their church, and she just had a sallow face and hollow cheeks and just looked terrible and sad all the time. But that day she walked in and she started convulsing, and she started having different voices speaking out of her and saying horrifying things, and all they could do was stand over her and pray over her until she was released. And she was released, and she was a new person afterward. She had life in her face again. There was one other story I wanted to share. Pastor Ray shared with me. There was one guy who was a major drug dealer in the area. And Pastor Ray said he felt like he had split personalities, that there would be this person where Pastor Ray would have him one-on-one and he'd say, "I don't want to do this with my life anymore. I don't want to hurt people anymore. I don't want to give them these drugs that are ruining their lives." But then he'd step out onto the street ready to do his job, and it's like he'd put on a cloak. And Pastor Ray was fairly convinced that he was absolutely possessed, that something would take over in that moment and it wasn't him anymore. And it's not just that these people are living in poverty. They're living in spiritual poverty too. And they are daily attacked in ways that we don't experience. And they see a more real side of it than we do.
So I have the privilege of sharing for the three other boys that weren't here. Tommy asked me to share about the day in New York. We got to go and hang out and have a good time and take our Sabbath in downtown New York. And it was a great time. But Tommy said that he was praying and he said, Lord, it's going to be our day off. But if there's still more to do, would you show us? And we'll do ministry even on our day off. And it was just a simple prayer for him. But then when we got there, as soon as we walked out of the subway station, there was four older people from Korea playing worship songs just on the sidewalk and with some free t-shirts that had Jesus's name on it and tracts and Bibles. And we got to pray for them. And we stopped everything we were going to do, put our day on hold for another 2 minutes and prayed for them. And to Tommy, that was the best part of the trip. And it blessed him a lot. Our other two guys that aren't here are Cameron and Nick. Nick got to paint the ark on the wall. And if you know Nick, he's very artistic. He's very creative and very talented. So for him to get that kind of project of, hey, this is going to be on the wall of the church for the years to come, and we want you to do it, he was ecstatic. And he worked hours and hours and hours in making sure it looked perfect. And he mixed the colors and he got it ready and he put all of his effort in it. And he even had a few helpers and he was leading them in that. And it was a blessing for him to do more than just a piece of paper, but a whole mural on the wall for the church. And Cameron worked like a workhorse. He's a strong big boy and he takes care of things and he did a lot. And one of the best parts about the week was, I don't know, I think you saw the photo. He was walking around taking photos for the group and there was one kid that said, can I take a photo? And when you have in your hands a very expensive camera, a lot of people would say, oh no, you know, you can't touch it or anything. But Cameron got down on his knees, leaned up next to the kid and said, press this button and aim it here. And he just gave the kid an opportunity to take a photo on a camera that he'll probably never own. And he let that be a moment for that kid. For me personally, the biggest blessing of the mission trip wasn't the mission of what we were doing out there. It was the group that I got to be with. I'm here for the summer, and the ministry that I've been a part of is a bigger blessing than maybe any ministry I've ever been a part of. And to be by Patrick and Rob's kind of influence and instruction to be more focused on these guys than the actual work that we were doing was a blessing. I had good, prayerful conversations with everybody up here. And that was my job, and I didn't really understand it when I got there. And I said, be focused on us. That doesn't make any sense. But when we did so much work with so much warfare, we needed it. We all needed time to sit down and pray before we could do more work. We all needed time to open up about what the Lord is showing us. Some things that the Lord was showing our group had nothing to do with the work we were doing. It was things that we left at home, and when we got there, the Lord wanted to get it out. And I got to talk and pray and be a big brother and a friend to everybody up here. And that was the biggest blessing to me, to serve my friends while they served everyone else.
I think the biggest thing that I will bring back from New York is twofold, and I'll share both. The first of which is just such a humble appreciation for God's faithfulness in our inability. And I was so blessed to be put in a leadership position that completely was beyond my depths, that I had no choice but to die or be moldable. And God honored that. And it was such a reminder to be faithful in those things that we think we might know, to continue to surrender those to the Lord, because whether we can be strong in our flesh or whether we have no option but to rely on the Lord, the fruit of that labor is always better when you depend on the Lord. And so when I get to hear each and every one of these stories and understand the circumstances that may have put a certain individual in that position and see my hand on why they ended up there, and then to know that it was by no means intentional, really just caused me to stop and say, wow, God, thank you for this opportunity that you would not make a mess of someone who has no idea what they're doing. So that's number one. The second thing that I and we would like to share with everyone here that we got out of Newark was a different experience of some of the ways we do things as a body of Christ. We traveled a lot of miles, and we love and serve the same God, and the same Jesus died for our sins. But sometimes there can be a different spin on how we express that praise.
The last story I'd like to share, when you go on an admission trip as a worship leader and you don't lead worship, it kind of messes with your head. That was kind of where I found myself. And when we kind of shared with Pastor Ray how we came prepared and said, yeah, we just did a VBS and we brought some worship songs, and they kind of saw that we had some time, we led worship with some VBS stuff. And I didn't have my moment until the van ride home. So Sam being Sam, Sam makes friends with everybody. And so Sam got exchanged Facebook stuff with Catherine, the lady who led the VBS for Newark. And so on the way home, Sam read this message out loud, and Catherine said, hey, let the group know that I heard, I'm going to cry, that I heard the kids walking home singing, I'm in the Lord's army. So you can imagine that picture with that street and those yellow shirts and these kids singing, I'm in the Lord's army, with fearless abandon. That was my moment. And that's why we were there. So now we're going to sing, I'm in the Lord's army. And you got to be silly, and you got to sing out loud. We won't make you yeehaw or anything else like we did those people in New York. 5, 6, 7, 8. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. Heaven, we just pray you would never let us forget that we are in your army, that with you behind us, we can do absolutely anything through your power and strength. Help us, Father, today to leave with boldness, to leave with an assurance that you love us, that your Son died for us, and that we are forgiven. Please, Father, please don't let us keep that secret to ourselves. It's the best thing in the world. In your Son's name, amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need Your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.